Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The white bread capital of America. I'm John Murphy. This is Team Tasker. You like that one, didn't you, Karina? You made that up.
Yeah.
This is One Bills Live. We're here until 3 o'clock today talking about the Bills, the NFL, and in particular, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. Hello, Steve. How are you today?
I am awesome.
You got 3 hours left in you?
I do.
That's all we need this week. All I need is everything you have. Next 3 hours.
You got it.
You got it?
Absolutely, man.
We need
it for you.
We got a good show. We had a good show yesterday. We might surpass it today.
I think
that's how confident we are.
I'm thinking at first blush, there's no doubt we'll surpass it.
I hope you're right.
It's going to be good today.
Got a good one. And let me tell you the guest lineup first. We're here at the Combine, as you know. We're inside the Indiana Convention Center, downtown Indianapolis. The week's been great. We'll talk about that as we move along through the show. But right now, the Combine is underway, and the testing on the field is going on. Right down the hallway, actually across the street over at Lucas Oil Stadium, it's connected, two buildings connected. And we don't have access to that, but we do have access to the media area here. And we got a lot of interviews we've done. Some we've done already, some we're going to do today. Lorenzo Alexander is going to be with us at 12:30. It's Friday. It's lowdown time. We love talking to Lorenzo. He's here doing business with the NFL Players Association. Lorenzo is a busy man. Lorenzo, he's going to be like a U.S. senator, I think, when his playing career is done, Steve. Something like that.
I prefer congressman. If he's going to be our buddy, we want him to be as high as he can go, right?
I want him in the Senate.
Right. Senate better than Congress?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's only 100 of them. I think Lorenzo's qualified with his – I'm not kidding either, by the way. I do think he is a unique individual. I've told you this, and I've been around the Bills for a long time. He is right in the top tier of intelligent, well-meaning,
articulate,
heart in the right place people I've ever come across in all my years of the Bills. And we're going to talk to him today at 12:30 about his work here with the PA. I mean, he's dedicated to the Players Association.
He's dedicated to greater good, and it does it in every part of his life. So, you're right. Buffalo should be really proud of him, and I'm so glad the Bills made it possible for him to come back and play another year for this team. This is a guy that – we love Lorenzo Day, but – we always do. I mean, he's a great guy. Yeah. We love having him on. He's a friend of both of ours. But when you sit back and take a look at, you know, what he really has done in Buffalo and for his career and now what he's involved with the NFLPA and his foundation, he's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's going to be with us at 12:30 today. 1 o'clock, again, a usual Friday guest for us during the regular season, and he's here. Greg Cosell, who's executive producer and analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN. We talk to him every week during the season about that weekend's NFL matchups, including the Bills. And he does extensive study on the draft and the draft prospects. And Greg Cosell will be here to share some of that with us at 1. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I always come away from talking with Greg Cosell smarter than I was when the interview started. I really do. There's not many people I can say that about.
You certainly don't say it about me.
I don't say it about many. You're in a wide field. But I do think that about Greg when it comes to the NFL and the Bills and observations that he makes. He is one of the best.
And yesterday we had Matt Bowen, who is now his cohort on NFL Matchup. Both of those guys are of the same ilk. They have a really keen mind, and they're smart enough and experienced enough to know what they're really watching on these game films that they dissect. And they put it in terms that everybody can understand, and they have a level of from everybody.
Especially from me. People who really know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, not, present company accepted. So, it's going to be fun to have Greg back on the show.
Producer Jay Harris and I were strolling around the room about an hour and a half ago, and I said, the one thing today's show lacks, guest-wise, is a Buffalo Bills perspective. Wednesday we had Sean McDermott. Yesterday we had Brandon Bean. We need a Buffalo Bills perspective, and almost right on cue, who walks by us but Joe Biscaglia, Joe B from WKBW-TV, Channel 7, the sports director there. Been around the Bills for years, been around this event, the Combine, for more than 10 years, and he loves this. He is knee-deep in combine prospects. He's got some thoughts on free agents. Excuse me. And Joe B is going to be with us today at 1:30. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's been on the show number. He's a good friend of the show. Co-hosts once in a while when you or me are out of the loop and does a great job with it. Cut his teeth in radio, so he's going to be great. And he, you're right. I know he's a sports anchor and all that, but this draft stuff and this combine stuff really seems to be a little bit of a passion with him. He loves doing it, and that's and you and I both quietly admit it's not our favorite thing. We enjoy it, but the nuts and bolts of it are for guys who are really passionate about it. And Joe B is one of those guys.
He'd be here. Let's put it this way: if he wasn't working here in the media, he'd be going through the doors over there with the other fans coming through here, right? He would be just to get an eyeball on combine. So Joe B at 1:30 and at 2, Bucky Brooks. Now, this is a bona fide guy, Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network and NFL Media, writes for NFL.com. He's all over the TV this weekend for NFL Network on their coverage of the Combine. Former Buffalo Bill wide receiver, second-round pick in 1994, a teammate of yours.
Yeah.
What do you remember about him? Anything?
He's a good receiver.
Yeah.
And he came onto the Bills at a time when it was a tough team to make.
Yeah.
Right? And Bucky was he's a really good writer. I read his stuff all the time on NFL.com. I can't wait to hear from him. He's a really sharp guy and has done really well for himself. And I think between you and me and all our listeners, his stock is rising. You're going to see a lot more of Bucky Brooks as the years roll past. Yeah. He's really, really expanding his footprint.
Well, I mean, the NFL Network and this event lost Mike Mayock now that he's the general manager of the Oakland Raiders, so they need somebody to fill the void. It seems to me, just observing, as much as our producer lets us watch the combine, which is not much, it seems to me Bucky Brooks has benefited from that. He's got a higher profile. It'd be nice if our producer, Jay Harris, let us watch a little bit more of the combine.
We have a monitor, we can almost touch it. We have a 50-inch monitor that's sitting almost out of arm's reach from us right here, and it's black.
He won't
let us turn. It's like Mom won't let us watch
TV.
We'll
be distracted while we're doing our homework. You can't do your homework while you watch TV.
They're televising. What if your homework is TV?
Exactly.
Right? They're televising all the stuff at the combine, all the offensive linemen running through their drills and stuff. Here we sit at the combine, and we can't participate.
But we'll get through. We've got 3 hours to go, then we're back in Buffalo in
such a tyrant.
Final show here at Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. It's been a good week on the show. Last night, you and I had a chance to get together a little bit. We went our separate ways early. I went to a sports bar, watched the Michigan Wolverines demolish Nebraska. Not much of a game at all. In fact, the color analyst from that game for ESPN, Dan Dockage, sitting over our shoulder over here. I just went over and talked to him. I said, you did a great job with a terrible game. And he said, yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, they won by 29 points, right?
It was 28.
It was ridiculous.
I caught the end of it. We were having dinner at the steakhouse, and they had the Ravens-Browns game on from week 17. I was like, we asked the guy, can you change it over? So by the time we thought about it changing over, they changed over. 45 seconds left. It's 80-52 Michigan at Michigan. And by that time, John Beilein is fist-bumping Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines.
Yeah, close.
They're all yuckety up,
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. I'm glad I missed it.
I want to talk to Coach Dockage. He was a former coach, more about that game. And about the Big Ten, actually. So
should ask him to come on.
Nah, we can't do that. Right. I thought about it, but he's got his own show. I think he does his own show noon to 3 here in Indianapolis, too. That's why he's here. So we went our separate ways, but then we got together, Steve, at one of my favorite places in Indianapolis is the Slippery Noodle, which is a blues club just a couple of blocks away. It's a great place. I mean, who thinks of Indianapolis for blues, right? Nobody. But they bring down bands from Chicago, including last night's band, the Mike Wheeler Band, I think they were called. Fantastic. And we had a group of about six or seven of us, and it was just, it wasn't a late night, but it was a good night.
Yeah, they were very early.
Classic Chicago blues band. Great guys. I talked to them a little bit after.
It was great. And the places, and the general manager he knows you've been in there before, right? So the general manager comes out and says, hey to Murph, and he's, he's obviously, and it is a very nice establishment. It's very unique as well. And he told us it was since 1860.
Bar in Indiana.
Yes, the oldest bar in Indiana, the state of Indiana. It's been continually open at the same spot for all that time. And you can tell there's a lot of history in the joint. It was fun for us to go there and we kind of listened to some live music and had a few laughs. It was fun.
I love Indy. I'd come back here every. In fact, I have come back here 12 straight years. I'd do it again.
I may come back again.
Yeah, yeah, you may or may not. So that's what we're up to, doing the show here for 3 hours here until 3 o'clock. We gave you the guest rundown as far as the combine activities. There were workouts going on a couple of minutes ago. Again, without our monitor on, we don't know if they're still going. I've shamed Jay Harrison to turning it on just because it's why we're here. You would think while we're here is the combine, let's have a look. We don't need to listen to it. We're not going to sit here and stare at the monitor. But workouts going on, 40-yard dash, another on-field workouts for offensive linemen going on today here. And oh, thank you, Jay. Does that screw up the shot? No, we're fine.
Well, that while he's doing that, I've got to give Murph a ton of credit. He came up with a great Twitter poll today.
Oh.
And I think it's let me just check the percentages before we go fawn over you any further.
Can I just give it a setup and then you can
all
fawn?
Right, all right.
Look, we know why we're here. We know why Bills fans are interested. You're interested in the draft. Now, you're not overwhelmingly interested in the draft, right? A year ago, different story. There were quarterbacks. Everybody had a horse in the race. Everybody wanted this guy, this quarterback, that quarterback. Not the case this year. We get that. I get that. We get that.
Yeah.
But you know that it's important, the draft, and you will be paying attention if you're a Bills fan, in some extent, to the draft coming up at the end of April. I believe April 25th is the day. It's the day of the first round. And the easiest way to approach it, I think, from a medium intensity fan is, what do I want him to do Thursday night, first round? And you know the Bills are sitting at 9, and there are options. And that's why we boil it down to this simple question. Again, we've come around to the press. The
simple is
simple
better.
Is better when it comes to the Twitter poll. So now, take it away, Steve. What do you got?
The question for today is, we're now 8 weeks away from the draft. What should be the Buffalo Bills' goal in the first round, and why? And you can vote. And you tweet at us, 1-888-550-2550 or 716-803-0550. What do you think the Bills' goal in the first round should be and why? And we have four choices. One is draft a wide receiver. Another is draft an offensive lineman. The third is trade down. And the fourth is something else that you can come up with. Now, so if you have an idea about what the Buffalo Bills should do in their first round, they're at number 9 overall. Call or tweet at us and tell us why you think they should do it. Draft a wide receiver, draft an offensive lineman, or trade down or something else. There's over 200 votes in already, and half of you think get an offensive lineman. 50% of you think just get an offensive lineman. 15% or 31% of you said you should trade the pick, and 15% say draft a wide receiver. And that's interesting. I think it might reflect, I don't know whether it reflects a knowledge of how deep this class is in offensive linemen or thin they are at wide receiver or vice versa.
You know what? I do think it reflects, I guess it's maturity on the part of Bills fans. Look, quite frankly, it's not fun to sit here and think, they're going to get a good offensive lineman in the first round, right?
Yeah, it's not a sexy pick.
No.
Yeah.
Might be the right pick, though.
Oh,
I give our fans and our respondents at Twitter a ton of credit to settle on that, half of them anyway.
Yeah.
You know what else is not overly exciting, I don't think? Trade down. Might be the smartest play to make on April 25th. Trade down, get more picks. They got 10, but why not get a few more in a draft that McDermott sat here Wednesday and said this, and Bean sat here yesterday and said this. It's deep in some very critical spots for the Bills. Offensive line, wide receiver, tight end. A deep draft. With that in mind, why not trade down, right? Get more.
That's right.
And I think that might be the thing I would choose if I'm legally constrained from voting in the Twitter poll, but if I could, I think I would vote for trade down. I really do.
Well, I don't have a problem with it either. But here's the big unknown is, what do we get for it? You know?
Right.
Do you always get you trade picks with the – if you're going to trade down in the first round, you're obviously trading with a team that's behind you in the first round. So you're going to flip-flop those picks. So you go drop down in the first round, and then what do you get before it? You get a 2 and a 3 after that? Or 2 threes or 2 twos, you know, what do you get? How you're in the top 10 of the draft, that changes things a little bit. The top 10 of the draft is a pretty elite spot for even if you are number 9. And there's two teams ahead of the Bills, Jacksonville at number 7 and the New York Giants at number 6. Those two teams want a quarterback. It's a deep draft in offensive linemen. They've got a lot of edge rushers in this draft as well. So there's there's some teams that would love to get into the top 10 to make sure they get one of those spots if they're available. So when the pick comes at number 9 for the Buffalo Bills, you can bet that their phone is going to ring. Don't you think, Murph?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to call them. Then the Bills are going to have to say no, or they're going to take the deal. And that's and I think it's pretty – it's fairly likely that that could happen.
I think based on past draft scenarios, first-round scenarios, it typically goes like the team that has their eye on some prospect, maybe a quarterback,
right,
will start fishing around to the Bills and others, you know, on the sixth pick or the seventh pick. Like, hey, if this guy's available, we're going to be calling you. Can we make a deal, right?
And it won't happen out of the blue. They'll
right.
say, listen,
there'll be a setup to it.
If team A does this and team B does that, we need to call you. We want this deal to be in place if you'll have it. And you know, they'll start having conversations about what's it going to take, how it's going to happen. Can you throw in a player as well as the pick? All that stuff. And it's pretty interesting to think about it happening, because it very well could. And I'm with those people who think it might. And I don't know if I'm all on board with I think I want it to happen, but I certainly want to explore the possibility.
You know, and we're 2 months away. And so there's a lot of things are going to happen between now and then. I mean, what the heck? Josh Rosen might be traded between now and then, right? Based on the stuff that's come out of here. But as you look at it from a two-month, a long view, a 30,000-foot view, 2 months away, what would you like to see the Bills get out of the first round? What would you like to see the outcome as we approach the first round about 8 weeks away?
You start talking about nuances and how everybody's thought process works. And one of the reasons they might be able to want to trade down or trade sideways or, you know, get out of that pick and gain more picks is because free agency has been so beneficial. They're going to be in the free agent market a couple of weeks before this. You're going to be able to fill some holes, and they'll probably get to a point where Sean McDermott used the term on Monday or Wednesday. I was really interested. He goes, we just want to make sure we don't have any positional emergencies. Yeah. So you got to get a guy where you've got to get two guys. You got to get four guys. Now, the offensive line right now before free agency, there ain't enough guys. They don't have enough guys to even field a team. I mean, they signed Spencer Long, but they got three starters from the last 3 weeks of the season, three starters that haven't been signed yet. Starters. Now, you can say that the line was a mess, and I might agree with you, but you still got to have guys to line up. If you don't fix that before the draft, you're going to spend three picks on the offensive line, then you don't know if those guys can play.
Right.
They're rookies. They're
you can't count on all three of
you
them.
You can't count on getting three starters on the offensive line in the draft. You got to fill these holes.
Yeah.
So that being said, that's going to dictate how likely it is that the Bills are ready to and willing to trade down. If they sign some guys they really like, if they get a couple of good free agent offensive linemen after having just signed Spencer Long, they might look at themselves and say, you know what? All of a sudden, I like our offensive line.
Yeah.
Let's trade out of that pick. Let's get a couple of edge rushers, you know, if there's an elite edge rusher that falls to us, let's get him. So that'll give them some flexibility. But a lot of this, you know, this likelihood on draft day that we're talking about in our Twitter poll, it depends on what happens in the next few weeks with free agency.
What would you like to see the Bills accomplish in the first round of the draft? We are, again, about 8 weeks away. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Vote in our Twitter poll or send us a tweet. We'll read some of them off the tweet sheet. I'm not sure if the phones are working, but let's give it a try. Mark in Buffalo. Are you there, Mark? Can you hear us? Are you on the air with us?
I'm here, Mr. Tasker and Mr. Murphy.
Hey. No phones. Okay. Mark, hang on. We're going to try to get that phone thing fixed. We really have a hard time doing the show if we don't have phones.
From 500 miles away.
Thanks, Mark. Tweet sheet, Steve. You got some of the tweets? No, I got them.
I do.
Right here.
I've got
Go ahead. What do you got?
From a guy named Jello, the Buffalo Bills should trade possible, but even if they can't trade, if they cannot draft T.J. Hockenson, I know it's a reach at number 9. Part of the problem with the running game is we don't have a great blocking tight end that can relieve pressure and pull linebackers out of the run lanes. And that's he's talking about T.J. Hockenson, tight end from Iowa. Now, here's the thing. This is a draft that is deep in tight ends. There's a bunch of guys that people think can really play, at least a handful of them. So number 9 might be a little high. You could probably trade out a number 9 and still get a guy like Hockenson. Or it might be that all these teams are thinking the same thing and there might be three of them gone in the top 10 because, like I said, there's only two teams above the Buffalo Bills at number 9, and that's Jacksonville and the Giants, who kind of seem to be obviously in the market for a quarterback high. And that doesn't mean they'll even take one. So all these other teams, the six other teams that are up there, are going to be taking guys like edge rushers. They're going to be taking offensive tackles, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to be taking some premium positions. So you might, if it comes to the point where the tight ends haven't been touched because the O-line is going fast and the defensive ends are going fast, there might be four or five tight ends still on the board at number nine. You could trade down to 16 and
exactly.
still get one.
Can I say, I don't like to say this very often, and I'm not a draft expert, but unless it's Kellen Winslow, I don't want to see a tight end off the board in the first 10, 12 picks. You know what I mean? I just don't think there's enough value at that position unless it's Winslow, Rob Gronkowski, who lasted until the second round. I mean, what does that tell you?
Nobody knew.
Yeah, nobody trusted his back then.
Right.
But, I don't mind adding a tight end, and maybe if it's your first pick, that's fine, but not at number nine. Not at number nine.
Right.
Not these tight ends especially.
Here's the thing, and it's the same a little bit for me as wide receiver, and I played that position for a minute. Those positions, tight end, not so much as tight end, but certainly wide receiver and a little bit to some extent tight end, they depend on the guy pulling the trigger. And I've told you this a million times, Murph. The quarterback makes those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Foster would not be in the league right now if he was playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars because they don't have a guy that could get him the ball deep, right?
Yeah.
Robert Foster was made by Josh Allen and his abilities. Ben Roethlisberger helped Antonio Brown, Martavius Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster. You can go down the list. Hines Ward. Ben Roethlisberger made a lot of great receivers there in Pittsburgh. Tom Brady. Goodness gracious, we've all seen.
He's got a wing in the Hall of Fame, guys who benefited from catching passes.
Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, you know, Chris Hogan. I mean, go down the list. You know, and certainly he had some guys that could play, but, you know, I mean, that's the thing. So it's my contention that the quarterback makes those guys. So it's hard for me to say, hey, this guy at tight end is going to be good enough to change things. And certainly Josh is a different animal. And we don't know how he's going to think about having a great all-pro tight end. We may have a great tight end, and Josh may not throw it to him. He may like the different throws better. He likes to push the ball down the field. It's going to be an adjustment for him to throw down soft into the zones, you know, in the intermediate and short routes. He's going to have to learn that because he doesn't like doing it. Now, he started on it in Week 17. We saw him complete 65% of his passes, just taking the completion. But I still think you're with you. I'm with you, Murph. Number nine's a
Too high
to take a tight end,
especially.
And maybe, and I don't. There ain't no Julio Jones or AJ Green in this draft for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean this. So we'll see. We'll see.
What should the Bills' goal be in the first round of the draft? Give us a call or send us a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet from Sipping the Kool-Aid. This response: the Bills' goal. Sipping the Kool-Aid says, "I don't think they should set a goal at all. The decision should that decision should not be set in stone because." Nobody knows who the first eight picks will be. If Josh Allen from Kentucky, the pass rusher, is available, you better pick him at number nine. If you have set a goal, if you have a set goal in mind before the draft, you will lose in the draft. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think sipping the Kool-Aid. What you are, or is it? Yeah, that's sipping the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I think what you're talking about is the you know you've kind of articulated the old best player available scenario, which is valid. But you do have to have a goal. You have to have a goal. Like, we want to, not necessarily for the first round, but you have to have a, if you're a team, the Bills or anybody else, you have to have a goal. Like, when we get out of this draft 2 days from now, say it's Thursday, when we get out of this draft on Saturday, we better make darn sure we have this, this, and this offensive line, wide receiver. You know what I mean? That's the goal. And and you got to have targets. And I think that's important to have targets, not to be locked in. I get that. And that's what I think what Sipping the Kool-Aid has said.
Yeah.
You got to be flexible. If there's a great player sitting out there, if Bosa is there at number nine, you probably scrap your goals and get him. But I do think you have to have targets.
I think it's more of a plan than a goal. They're going to run through mock draft after mock draft after mock draft. They're going to start laying out their spots where there may be a level of guys. They'll probably label these guys, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but they do rank every player, of course. But there'll be a handful of guys that are game changers, right, Murph? If one of these guys drops to us at this spot, you know, we got to take him. There's probably only going to be three of those guys in this board because, you know, number nine, that's about as many as you can say that are going to drop to you. Because if you go six, one of them's going to drop to you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to change your whole plan if one of those guys get it. But at number nine, you need – listen – if this guy gets drafted at number nine, he is starting
on opening day. That's all there is to it. He's got, in my opinion, he's got to be that good.
Yeah.
He's got to be a difference maker. If you're drafting a kid at number 9, he's on the field right away, day one, right?
Yeah. And it's, if it's, not, you're going
to
be.
You can say what you want about Josh Allen last year. I mean, he was a number 7 overall.
Quarterbacks
pick.
Are different.
Quarterbacks are different. But any other position, he's got to get on the field. You can't get a guy in the top 10 and have him not play. And not be, and actually, you expect him to be a difference maker, pretty much from the word go. Particularly if he's at one of those positions like an edge rusher, a cornerback, or like that. Now, left tackle, okay, maybe he takes a little getting used to, but you still plug him in; he's still in there. You might help him a little bit at first and beginning of the year, but then by the end of the year, he should be standalone.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. So that's my take. If you're going to take somebody at 9, the guy is projected as a starter and plugged in right away.
Hey, Steve, and this is just a little bit of inside baseball. I have to commend our producer, Jay Harris, for allowing us to watch the combine. I finally feel like we're at the combine now that we are watching the NFL Network video feed.
There's stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had the bench press going on behind us. There's cheering and stuff going on.
Oh, this is good, though. It's good to see this, guys. We got offensive linemen doing the drills.
Yeah, they're coming off the – they're doing edge rushing right now, and – these, I don't know if these are edge rushers or just offensive linemen that are going against each other. Look at this guy. 6'6 and 7'8 and 324. Where do they find these guys?
Freakish.
Hey, if I was 6'8 and weighed 320, I'd still be playing.
Sure you
at
would.
At 56.
Sure you
I would. I
would
still be playing.
Just, rock yourself to sleep at night telling yourself
man,
that.
Man, oh, man.
Hey, on a more serious note, Steve, Dick Byer as well. Our buddy Dick Byer, the Destroyer, longtime professional wrestler, is recuperating at home. I spoke to his wife, Wilma, this morning, and the family's there. Everybody's keeping an eye on Dick. He's a good friend of mine. He's
a friend of mine, too, yeah.
Longtime football coach, high school football coach, and Syracuse University football coach, a legend at Syracuse, where he played for the great Ben Schwartzwalder, a legend as a professional wrestler with an incredible career in Japan especially, and a great coach, a swimming coach in more recent years at Akron High School. We wish him well. He's got some health challenges, and he's fighting through it. And as Wilma said, he tries to watch the show as much as he can. Hope he's watching today, but as many friends, including you and me, want to send him best wishes.
I'll never forget, when
Destroyer.
I retired from the NFL, they had a little dinner for me, and I got a Bills jersey. They gave me a Bills jersey. They gave me a Bison's jersey and a Sabres jersey with my name. It was very cool.
Yeah.
The Destroyer gave me a mask.
I got one of his masks,
it was
too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was
got
great.
It
I still got the pic. I got a picture of it. I got the, and the mask is in my office. I got it displayed.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And he was a good friend. I loved seeing him every chance I got. And I hope he's recovering well. And we send our best wishes
to him.
Wish him
well. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, it is Friday. It's Lowdown Friday. Lorenzo Alexander here at the Combine. He's here to talk to us about the Combine, his Combine experience. All of that coming up when we return. Steve and I just get going. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health, from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live at the NFL Scouting Combine. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It's Friday. You know what we do on Fridays on the show? We have the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, and he follows us all the way to Indianapolis to do it. Good for you. Thanks. Good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Really enjoying the week down here. Obviously, it can be a little bit tiring at times. There's a lot of meetings, and then at night, just kind of socializing with a lot of people I've met around the league.
How'd you do on the bench press?
I threw up about 25 reps.
There you go.
Just no warm up. Just lay down there and show them young men how to
do it.
Did it
one time with one hand, right?
Yep.
You're down here for the NFLPA. Tell us about what your responsibilities are.
Yeah, down here we have some executive committee meetings, just kind of go over league business. And then also we have an opportunity to talk to a lot of the participants. Each group will come in and the PA will present and just kind of give their presentation of what the union is and what services we provide. And then I'll come in and from a player perspective and also a union member and a executive committee member, just kind of give my perspective on how the union has helped me in my role and how I can help them be in the first year and give them some advice as well.
If I were one of those prospects waiting to be drafted, and whether or not I knew who you were, and I'm sure many of them do, but if I saw your resume and your years of service in the NFL, I would say, whoa, That's what I want to be, right? That has to make an impression. Well, I want to be around 10, 12, 13 years.
Yeah, that's why I have, you know, the player advocates are in there as well, and those are staff members of the union, and they kind of pump me up because I have a hard time trying to, oh, I did this, this, and this to make the young men kind of get engaged.
I've heard you do that.
It's just not in my nature. I don't need to. I just kind of lead and speak, and hopefully they listen. But then, obviously, what you do on the field always adds to your message because it just reinforces what you talk about or what you believe in actually works and can translate to success in the NFL.
So partner up with Murph and he'll put you in the Hall of Fame.
I'm working on
I know,
Steve.
I know.
I'm still working. But if I – do they do Q&A? Can the prospects ask questions?
Yeah, they normally ask a couple of questions. They're normally engaged.
If somebody raised their hand and said to you, Mr. Alexander, what can I do to stick around the league for a dozen or more years? What would you tell them?
It's no one thing. I think people always want to, you know, kind of put their hand on one thing. It's all about doing a whole bunch of things consistently and growing over that time. And so if it means, you know, how you take care of your body, how you eat, how you study film, how you relate to people within the locker room, how do you handle your relationships outside of the field and what type of person you are and how you engage fans, because that adds value to you. And it also talks to how you're going to leave. You're not going to have drama when you come to work, you know, as far as like your relationships with your significant other, your parents or whatever. So it's doing a lot of different things, and obviously it's hard to really talk to all that in that room in such a period of time. But so I kind of hit some of the highlight points, and really comes down to being consistent and being that person every single day and never getting complacent in where you're at, especially if you're a first-rounder, a drafted guy, or has some success, but always trying to grow once you've earned that.
Lorenzo, for as many years as you have done that and as many years as you've been in the league, what have you noticed about that group? What's different about rookies now than the way they were, you know, when you came into the league?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like the old man, but
yes.
I think a lot of guys, there's a little bit more sense of entitlement. It's not with everybody, but you can see more guys. And I could have easily been one of those guys when I was coming up, but I didn't see it because I was part of the group.
Yeah.
But there is a different mentality when guys come in where they feel like they've arrived and they belong there, and that work ethic and that respect level, especially for older players, is not naturally built in. Some of them get it over a period of time and realize, okay, I got to work my way up, but it's not as natural as I think as the longer I've been in, that's kind of I've died down.
What is the top concern for the NFL, for the PA?
I mean, it's always, there's no one thing because our body is so diverse. You know, you have rookies coming in, you got first and second year players, you got guys that have been in the league 15 years, you got guys making $20+ million, you got guys in the middle, you got guys being restricted, guys that are in deals. So you're going to get a various opinions of what's important. I think they always boil down to restrictions, being restricted, and when can you get your next deal, work conditions, player safety type of issues. Those are normally, and then benefits. You know, what is my life going to look like after I'm done? What type of additional funds or resources will I have coming to me, or will I have access to when I've walked away from this game? And those normally the three buckets most of the ideas kind of fall into. And so, obviously, as a union, you try to take all these ideas and funnel them, and then try to make a best plan going forward.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest, Bills linebacker, and you are a board member for the NFLPA.
Yeah, I'm a vice president of the
you're up there.
The NFLPA.
So the NFLPA, it's been quiet for the most part for the last 8 years, but it's going to get heated up, right, as the CBA expires in a couple of years. You want to be around for that?
Do I want to be around?
Do you want to be a part of that?
Well, I will be, regardless if I walk away as far as what I do on the field or not,
right,
because I've been engaged for the last – I think 6 years as a EC member, and really since 2009-10 as a rep in some sort of way. Just from the leadership and continuity standpoint, even if I retire next year, I will still stay involved in the PA just to continue to help guys and engage guys, the solidarity and being a leader and guys that, you know, kind of look to for it. Advice. I don't want to just leave and leave that void just kind of suddenly, especially when things are heating up.
2011 was ugly. I mean, it was a lockout. It went into August.
Yeah.
It could get worse, right, in a couple of years.
It could be. It's always a potential work stoppage that's looming until, you know, something is solidified and changed. And obviously, you always want to work something out that's best for everybody. And that's what a CBA is, right? It's negotiations on both sides, players and owners, coming to an agreement that over the totality of the deal, in theory, you want it to benefit owners and players as it grows, because we are partners in this. in this game as far as trying to improve it and make it better for the fans.
Have you had any contact with your teammates this offseason? We're about 2 months into it, and now you're kind of – you feel healed up? And
I feel good. I actually feel better than I did a year ago. You know, it might be something to this thing. You know, Spikes call me Benjamin Button. I mean, I really do feel better each and every single season. So I do feel good. I've linked up with some guys that come in and work out, whether it's Matt Milano or Dean, or, you know, both our Corey's, both punters are in there kicking and working out. And then I've reached out to Josh and Tremaine, seeing them, whether it's at the Super Bowl and different events, and Kyle at Pro Bowl. So I've seen guys, and I try to reach out and stay in contact, especially the guys I have a good relationship with. And then also some of the young guys, making sure that their mindset is set a certain way, because some of these guys are going to be expected to have a bigger role next year if we want to have success. And then some of these guys are going to have to grow their game if we want to be successful next year as well.
Those guys, that last group you talk about, now it's February and almost March. What do you want them to be doing now? Isn't it still downtime?
Downtime. You need to always be working towards your craft. And I'm not talking about going out there and grinding and putting yourself through a 45-minute, you know, individual workout. But at this point, you should have started your off-season regimen as far as starting to lift some weight, starting to run a little bit, because you want to come back into workouts in somewhat of good shape. You don't have to be at your peak level, but you want to gear up, because when we get back, we don't have time for guys pulling a hamstring from running gassers or anything like that. So you want to prime yourself before you just step in. And then also just shows your commitment. You want to to be good in this league, you have to have a consistent commitment to your body and your craft. And you should always be moving towards that direction. And it looks different at different parts of the year, but you definitely want to be gearing up about right now.
Well, to that point, you made light of it of saying you're Benjamin Button. But the fact is, you don't. You know, it's not an accident that you are feeling better now. You
Correct.
Worked on this for years.
Yeah, and it goes to just me continue to understand my body, continue to grow, not getting complacent of where I'm at. And then that consistency, your body is conditioned to feel a certain way and to be in shape. That yo-yo effect, going up 10 pounds, dropping 15 pounds, going up, whatever that is, getting in shape, getting out of shape, that's harsher on your body than just maintaining a certain level of fitness. And that's what I try to get these guys to understand. And it always goes back to that word I use, consistency. You can't be all over this place. Because when you're all over the place, Hector Skelter, I can't trust you. Your body can't trust you. Coaches can't trust you. And then so you're not in the league as long because of it.
It also builds upon itself. Things that you have done and maintained.
Correct.
Of course, just become not just habits, but your body becomes their default.
Yep.
And then you can use that as a, you know, to go further and advance your skills at a higher level because your baseline has been raised.
Right, and you're not losing that in the offseason. I think a lot of guys sit down too long, and the gains that you've made, it doesn't take your body that long to get in the comfort zone and just, relax, I'm done. So if you do that for a month, like you're saying, those gains and those standards that you have set for yourself, most likely you're going to lose them, and then you're just trying to work that first month and a half. You're just trying to get back to ground zero where you could have been making some sort of gains. And it's incremental at this level. It's not these huge gains, but me gaining 1% or 2% of strength or speed or mobility goes a long way in how I compete and how I can maybe be dominant over another guy.
It's One Bills Live from the Combine. John Murphy, Steve Tasker with Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker. You know what you two have in common? Neither one of you were invited to participate in the Combine, right? Were you here?
I participated.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I know.
He just told you did 25 reps.
Yeah, you don't have to make my story any better.
No, it's a good story.
Yeah, I just did 25 reps. Just did it. I don't know what I did back when in – my story any better?
No, it's a good story.
Yeah, I just did 25 reps. Just did it. I don't know what I did back when, and that's just too long ago. I don't
it's
remember what
time.
I did. Yeah, it's 15 years.
Did the combine go well for you? Because I know you were not drafted.
I ran slow. I mean, I was bigger then. I was a D tackle.
Yeah.
I was just a different type. Back then, it was bigger, was better. I was 6'2". I was short. So, people didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
Well, so, kind of a tweener between
tackle in, can he lose a little weight? Yeah, is he a bigger body? Yep. You know, it's just a lot of things, but it worked out for me.
Well, we were talking about how much you've been doing since you've been here, but these players are put under a lot of duress during their week here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're long days, and then they're expected to go out and have personal bests in the 40.
Right, and I think some of that's designed. Obviously, it's drawn out because it is a huge moneymaker for the league. The league has learned how to market it and has done a great job about it, and it helps everybody out as far as revenue. But I think it's set up in that way because you want to be able to stress somebody and then ask them to perform. In a way, it kind of mimics a season or a practice. And you sit in meetings for 3 or 4 hours taking all this information, and then you got to go out and perform. And then you get critiqued, and then the next day you got to show up and do it all over again. Right. And in a sense, that kind of mimics it, and you can kind of see what somebody's made out of based on the stressors that you've been put through all week, and then can you go out and perform and focus?
It's even more so of a professional atmosphere, professional athletic atmosphere than the Senior Bowl is. It's their, kind of their first exposure to being, hey, listen, you have to be here. You've got to do this. You got to do this mental, stressful stuff off the field.
Right.
And then we'll see what you can, how you can perform. It's the really first atmosphere they get exposed to that's like an NFL season.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want to kind of see. And it gives you a slight indication of how somebody can handle that during the year. Obviously, over a period of a season or off season, there's more data points, more days, more consistency, things you can look at, but this is definitely a good indication for that.
Let's talk about your off season so far. We just got a minute or two left. What have you been doing? I know you're traveling a ton. We saw it
too much traveling. You know, yeah, I went to Arizona, took the kids. It's all been fun stuff though. LA with my wife, Pro Bowl with the family, then went to Super Bowl with my wife. We just got back from Arizona. It was a winter break with the kids and family, checked on the house, and did a charity event for Colleen's Dream, which was really cool. And then next week I'll be down in Florida for rep meetings. So and then I was here. So I've kind of been all over the place. I'm waiting. I can't wait to just kind of just woosaw a little bit and kick back.
Pro Bowl looked fun, especially with all the attention on Kyle.
That was great. I got to interview him. Our kids got to play together, so that was always a great time to experience that with him and his family.
Did you get to a point where you're itching to get back to work? I think you're about 6 weeks away from going back for OTAs.
I've learned to appreciate my downtime for being told when I have to do it and how I have to do it. You know, I've been working out right now, doing my own thing, working out down here, so I stay on my regimen, but I've learned to pace myself, and everything comes in time, and so I'm not going to be too anxious for it to come here because then you start aching. Oh, I got to be up here. So it comes in seasons, and I'm pacing it and ready for it.
That sounds like a veteran answer right there.
You can't be too anxious to get back into it. And you're like, man, when is the season? Oh, what's going on? When is summer coming?
Last thing for you. Have the Bills, I mean, it's been quiet. Let's face it, at One Bills Drive, in terms of moves. Anything get your attention? Any moves they've made, hires they've made, coaching hires, or personnel? They haven't done much in personnel. What do you think the setup for this upcoming year?
Well, you know, well, I played against Heath Farwell, so that was kind of cool to see a player. I don't know if I guess am I old or what it is to be working with a coach that I played against in the league and intimately know, and it's going to be cool. That's going to be different.
First time? About?
Yeah, I think that's somebody I actually played with that is now going to be, you know, technically coaching me. But so the dynamic is always different. When you have that relationship, it's more peer-to-peer versus coach-to-player.
You also played against Spencer Long, new acquisition offensive line. He's a Jet offensive lineman.
Yeah, I played against Spencer Long.
And now
Solid,
he's
a Redskin as well. So, I got to meet him a little bit. So I know we're making some moves, bringing in the right guys that we want. And I think, you know, what I like about it is calculated, you know, because I've been on some teams where GMs just go out when you have a lot of money and just trying to sign guys and big guys. Obviously, free agency hasn't hit yet, but looking forward to what our team puts together.
Thanks for this. Good to see you.
Great to
see you again soon,
man.
I think. Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo Bills linebacker, joining us. Steve and I coming back for more. One Bills Live from the NFL Scouting Combine, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live from
It's a little better when Jay Harris is in the control room instead of sitting
We
don't see the way.
Now we're forced to keep an eye on him. He's right there. Great to have the monitor. And the other thing about this monitor, we're keeping an eye on the offensive line.
We're the envy of Radio Row.
Right. Yeah, and no one else has this monitor. We've had it for 2 days, and it's been off. So if you were, you know, from WSNS in, Shreveport, Louisiana, you're looking at saying, wow, Buffalo's got a monitor.
Right? They got it going on, but they're stupid for not turning it on.
Why don't they turn it on?
They're idiots. Yeah. They got a monitor and they don't have it on.
And now we have it on. Now we feel like we're at the combine.
And it's time to leave.
Lorenzo had some stories. Look, I was confused. I know Lorenzo was not drafted. I believe he did not go to the Senior Bowl, so I guess I assumed that he would not have been invited to the combine, but he was. That was my bad. And not only was he invited, he did pretty well.
Well, pretty well. He ran a 5.17.
All right, he did okay.
But then he had 28 reps on the bench, 29.5 vertical jump, 8 feet 10 inch broad jump and his 7.53 three-cone drill. This is a guy when he – it was up when he weighed three bills, though.
Yeah.
He's a completely different human being.
He was in a different spot then. He said – he told us that just
a minute ago. Hand on the ground. He was, you know, D-lineman.
You know what? And we didn't get into it with Lorenzo when we just had him on the show, but the one story he has told us about his combine experience was that, you know, they have these interviews at night, these meetings at night. Lorenzo didn't have one.
Nobody
wanted to talk to him. You imagine if you come to the combine and you're thinking, I'll be ready to do some interviews and present yourself in the best possible light and make sure you have answers to all the questions, and nobody asks you a question. What would you do? Poor Lorenzo, poor 21-year-old Lorenzo flying home to Oakland after his combine experience. Don't you think he was a little bit, maybe I better look at something else?
Maybe.
But now, and here's the happy ending, 13 years in the NFL, Pro Bowls.
He's the dude,
MVP of the Pro Bowl. He's an acknowledged leader on this roster. It just goes to show you what, Steve? What does it go to show you?
It goes to show you that professionalism and commitment and the right attitude get you a long, long way in life. He's a pro, and he learned how to be a pro, and he's got discipline. And that's the thing that a lot of these guys don't lack. They don't see the connection between what they eat and how they look, what they eat and how they play, when they train and how much they rest, and how much they, you know, how much of the fun stuff that you can do that you shouldn't do, that you stay away from, help you on the field. A lot of kids, a lot of young players don't make that connection. They've always been the best player. They've always been the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, the best player, the most skilled, the most coordinated, the best of their group. They've always been the best, and they've never had to really work as hard as they need, you know, as everybody else did to be good. So it's hard for them to say, if I don't feel a different, how can I be different? And certainly it's a lesson that Lorenzo learned very early, and it's served him well. The guy's put together an incredible career.
One of our favorites, and happy to talk to me. Thank you for coming by. Coming up next, Greg Cosell, analyst, executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. We'll get his take on this combine, on the Bills' needs going into the draft. Greg Cosell, when we return, Steve and I coming back for two more hours. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.